Thank you for having me here. So yes, social media and gaming, good or bad for kids. Now, this is part of a very large study that we've done and have been running over the last 18 months, talking to children, and we call it Wellbeing and the Internet Study. And those of you who don't know me, I'm very much have a background in mental health. I'm a trained child and adolescent psychotherapist. My research at Cambridge has been very much around children using the internet and actually what it means for them socially, but also psychologically. So we actually decided to do this research 2 years ago. And interestingly, we moved to our offices from kind of around Marylebone in London to North Kensington. And when we moved in, we were moving in 2 weeks after the Grenfell Tower fire, very sadly. And we're literally, our offices around the corner from Grenfell Tower. So it was almost kind of extraordinary that at the same time as we were actually thinking of doing this research, you know, we saw regularly children walking along the street in floods of tears, you know, for several weeks after, not surprisingly, after this horrible, horrible event. And there'd also been a lot of other issues, hadn't there? So there'd been the Manchester bombings, of course, bombings in London as well. And there was generally this sort of sense of anxiety, but also talking to mental health practitioners and colleagues, you know, this real sense that children, there were more children actually coming and asking for help. And although, you know, there's been a lot of debate now, is that because we're all just much more aware of it for some reason, or is it actually happening? And certainly the thinking is that in schools and in mental health practitioners, the actual number of children coming for help with mental health is increasing. And of course, inevitably, this has been blamed on children's use of social media and gaming. And there have been a lot of conversations around that. And I think one of the things that we probably thought when we launched this in August last year was that we would actually look at that. That, you know, that's what we were going to find. Yep, this is really bad. It's not good for kids. The more they're using it, you know, there are all sorts of reasons why they're really, it's doing a lot of bad things for them. So we actually started off by doing some peer-to-peer research. And what I mean by that is we took on two interns last summer holidays, which we do most holidays. They were both 18-year-olds. And they were, here's Zara, and Louis. Zara went on to start her degree in London in law, and she's still working with us. She's working with us at the moment. Louis has had a year out, and he's about to do Japanese at Oxford. And they both, we trained them for about a week in really quite intensively. They came to groups that we were doing anyway during that week, and then we actually trained them and sort of did, you know, they got them to do research. We brought their friends in and they did research with that. And it worked really, really well because although my team is quite young, most of them probably in their 20s, if you're 14, 15, you know, someone of sort of 25, 26 is actually terribly old, but actually having someone of 18 is much better. And we actually just asked the kids about, you know, what they're doing online, what sort of experiences they're having, good and bad. And that was incredibly beneficial to do that as a sort of background, if you like, to this research. And we repeated this research again in the Easter holidays. Same thing. And really sort of talking to the kids about what they were doing, what was happening. And the age group we specifically chose was 12 to 17-year-olds. We also, and I think this is important, we also did a nationally representative survey of 1,000 children aged 7 to 16, so we sort of spread the age group wider. And we worked with our panel partners, Panelbase, who were very helpful with us for us and did research in September 2018. So the questionnaire was based on the qualitative findings. So things like, you know, we asked them what they were worried about, what makes them happy, obviously what websites they were using as well, what apps they were using. And again, we repeated that research actually just 2 weeks ago. So I have the most incredibly new statistics 9 months on, just to see what the changes are. And as you might expect, many, many of these areas have come out as being incredibly important. And I think what we have to remember here is that actually this is going to sort of go on and on and on. Now, as I said, there has been, and we were expecting there to be a lot of conversations about all this sort of sense of mental health concerns is being exacerbated by the use of gaming and social media sites. And there were endless, last year and this year particularly, and all these headlines I'm going to show you come from this year, have been endless headlines about, is it or is it not bad? And it's interesting that a lot of, so this is the Royal College of Paediatricians have actually recommended, have said, actually, it's impossible to recommend screen time because, you know, many children are getting great benefits from being on screen. So why should we go against it? So it's kind of a wave against it, really. There's not enough evidence to confirm that screen time is in itself harmful to children's health. Again, Royal College of Paediatrics and Child Health build screen time around family activities, not the other way around. And that's actually something that, you know, we would actually reinforce that maybe parents, and I don't want to slate parents, I'm a parent, I'm sure there are many parents in the audience, but you know, there is an argument to say that parents could perhaps change some of their own habits, and I'll talk about that in a minute. And then this in the New Statesman, stop scaremongering about kids spending time on their phones. But we perhaps have been overreacting a little bit. Also, the Children's Commissioner back in January came out with similar sort of findings, and the House of Lords, and there's actually a white paper some of you will know at the moment out there, actually debating the whole area. And this came out in The Guardian just actually over a month ago, I suppose. Research from the Internet Institute at Oxford University, very, very sort of robust research based on 12,500 interviews with 10 to 15-year-olds. And again, they couldn't prove that there was any relationship between children's mental health, their level of happiness, and their use of screen time. So, okay. What about kids? And let's have a look at it. And we did sort of, I say, it was quite wide in terms of the sort of things we were talking about. There's no doubt that young people want to make the world a better place. Now, I think obviously children and young people have always had that, but it's particularly noticeable at the moment that they feel not only very passionately about how they want to change the world, but they actually feel that they're able to influence things. And I think this is a really key thing that one could say has come out of use of social media. Though obviously, I mean, this won't be any surprise to you, the issues that they're really concerned about that they tell us about are equality, right to privacy, so they are interested in privacy. They don't particularly know what GDPR is, but they're definitely sort of concerned about their own privacy. And in terms of actually their parents putting pictures of them online, that's a big issue. They want peace, of course. They want fairer living standards, global warming, massive. That's been sort of rocking on for about 2 years now. And fair animals of fair treatment of animals. That comes up all the time. I mean, quite spontaneously, how animals are very important. And animals are very important in children's lives as well. So quite a few little quotes there that you can read, boy of 15, girl of 12, girl of 17, just really concerned, and we've got hundreds and hundreds of these quotes. So let's just look now and see what they're actually doing on social media. And I think this is quite interesting. So again, you know, we compared, this was quantitative research, we used the lists that came out of the qualitative research, and we compared the figures that we got last September with June this year, so 9 months on. And you will see that there are changes. So the blue column is the September, and the orange column here is the is the June this year, so just a couple of weeks ago. Now, I've only used the top nine. There are lots, as you can imagine, the list goes on and on and on and on. I haven't included FaceTime. They're still using Twitter, TikTok, Reddit, Lego Life, and Discord. Actually, we didn't have any recordings of for Discord this time. But these top ones, as you can see, are quite significant. And there has been an increase in YouTube, quite a significant one, and also on in Netflix and Instagram as well. And remembering that for many of these sites, the minimum age for signing up is 13, and that's the minimum age. And that doesn't seem to be an issue at all with children. They just sign up, or they, if they have to get their parental permission, parents just give it. So I guess there's a whole debate that we could have around that. As you might expect, there are differences amongst age groups. So if we look at 7 to 10-year-olds, YouTube and Netflix has become bigger since in the just 9 months. It's grown really significantly, their use of. And of course, they're looking at anything. Parental controls, we did ask about parental controls, and most of the children we talk to do not have parental controls on all their devices. It's maybe put on the laptop, but you know, then they'll have a phone and parents might forget to put it on their phone. So that's quite an interesting issue as well. Amongst 11 to 13-year-olds, as you can see, both WhatsApp and Netflix has increased in 9 months. Again, this kind of communicating, and what they often do will go onto Netflix, watch something together remotely, but be talking about it through another social media. So lots of apps being used at the same time, but rarely sort of in the same room together. And the same with 14 to 16-year-olds, again, WhatsApp has gone up considerably. There are, as you might expect, gender differences. Girls are more significantly more likely to be using Instagram, and also, of course, Snapchat, Pinterest, and TikTok. Boys are significantly more likely, and they're also likely to, girls are more likely to be using iMessaging and FaceTime. Boys, on the other hand, are significantly more likely to be using Lego Life, which is interesting. The people from Lego Life here yesterday were very pleased about that because they were quite amazed that it's sort of there and being registered, but it certainly is amongst boys, and we'll keep an eye on that, of course. If we move to gaming, now, of course, it isn't just boys playing gaming. That's a bit of a myth, as we all know. Lots and lots of different sites here, as you can see. And again, a sort of Minecraft is still the biggest being used, the most popular. But also we have a significant increase, and this is extraordinary because we kind of had all thought it was dying out, but in Fortnite and also in Pokemon. So in the last 9 months, the use of both Fortnite and Pokemon Go has gone up amongst 7 to 12-year-olds. Again, as you might expect, gender differences. Boys much more likely to be playing games overall, actually, but particularly Minecraft, Fortnite, FIFA, and obviously, as you might expect, Call of Duty, often playing with their fathers or grandfathers. Grand Theft Auto as well. Girls are much more likely to be playing Candy Crush, and that kind of is a pattern that we've seen all the time. Okay, we asked sort of some specific questions about what they're doing, the nature of their communication, and I'm not going to go into huge detail here. We've got a lot more detail. But we did talk about talking to strangers online. Have you ever talked to people you haven't met before on these social apps or websites? Now, although that does raise some alarms, and you know, we know from other research that we've just recently done that indeed, you know, there are some safeguarding issues around talking. I mean, serious safeguarding issues around talking to people they don't know. It's not necessarily a bad thing because they are actually just talking and communicating with other people. So we've kind of got to get that into perspective, I think. But Facebook, as you can see, they're talking to Instagram, Snapchat, YouTube, talking to people quite regularly with people they don't know. But 71%, however, say no, they never speak to anyone. And that's because increasingly there's conversations going on both at home and at school. Instagram particularly is girls, and it increases with ages. So a lot of girls kind of accepting likes, etc., on Instagram. YouTube is particularly for boys, where they're talking to people they don't know. Now, I just want to sort of go in on a general sort of thought about, you know, talking about mental health and how it's affecting, and is it bad or good, or is it about social media? And just have a little sort of think about that. And we asked the question of young people, what makes you happy? And this was based on the list of things that we had put together from doing the qualitative research. And interestingly, my family is the highest. My friends, my pets, and that comes up. or followed by holidays and music. And that had gone up in terms of all of those. There was an increase in the number of girls who said that. When we look at boys, again, it was very similar. My family was first, my friends, but the third was video games. but fourth was pets. Pets are still in there. Followed by holidays. More or less quite consistent across age groups, as you can see, which I think was interesting. But you can see that actually sort of social media, video games, it's not the highest. You know, actually friends, family are the most important. And I think that tells us something very important about this. We also asked, what worries you? Do you ever worry about the following? And I think this is fascinating. And I would love to do this research in another country because I suspect we would get very different results, particularly we work a lot in Scandinavia. And I suspect we would get very different results in Scandinavia. So number one of the worries for boys are tests and exams. 46% worry about that. 39%, 4 out of 10, worrying about schoolwork. The next one is worrying what others about family. So boys, the third worry is worrying about family and arguments with other people and what others think of me. Girls, pretty similar. So again, the top one, 48%, which is quite high if you think of it, 5 out of 10. Thinking about tests, exams, schoolwork, the next one down, arguments with others. What others think about me and worrying about my family. So again, a kind of almost a cliched, I think, you know, girls being much more worried about personal relationships and boys kind of tests, exams, and it's not quite the same, is it? It's a slightly different sort of look about, feel about what they worry. But I think the fact that tests and exams come up number one and schoolwork come up number two says a lot about our education system. And we are, by the way, presenting this to the Department for Education next week. And the other thing I think that is really interesting is one on the list was worrying about social media. That was 20th in the list. And worrying about gaming was something like 24th on the list. So there really isn't a sense that they are worried about it, even if we are worried about them using gaming and social media. So reliance on devices. So before I actually show you that, just can I have a show of hands? How many of you feel that you literally can't go anywhere without some sort of device that puts you on the internet? So I'm seeing quite a few hands. 30. Okay, well, that's virtually all of you, not absolutely all of you, but virtually all of you. So I think that is quite interesting. So let's see what they say. I can't go anywhere without at least one internet device. And 7 to 10-year-olds, it's actually gone slightly down, but it's still 1 in 5, 7 to 10-year-olds saying they can't go. That's quite young. It has gone slightly down. 11 to 13-year-olds, it goes up, and it's more or less half. Again, it's gone down slightly, but not that much. And 14 to 16-year-olds, as you might expect, it's really quite high. 55% 14 to 16-year-olds felt they couldn't go anywhere without at least one internet device in September, and that went up to 61% a couple of weeks ago when we asked them. I talk to my friends more online, my friends online more than in person. The numbers agreeing, so amongst 7 to 10s, that's actually gone down, interestingly, for the younger age group, 7 to 10s. It was 18% in September, and it's just 10% now. So that's quite interesting, and I think we know why that is, which I'll tell you about in a second. 11 to 13-year-olds, it's around about a third, hasn't really changed. I talk to my friends more online than in person. And amongst 14 to 16-year-olds, this has gone up, and it's virtually half, so that they talk to their friends more online than in person. Now, next question. How many of you take your smartphone to or some sort of device to bed with you at night? Right, that's quite a lot. I'd say that's about two-thirds of you. I can't quite see at the back. Okay, you're not alone. 43% of young people take a smartphone to bed with them at night. For 7 to 10-year-olds, this is 16%, and it's actually gone down slightly. So not so bad, perhaps. And I think that's because of parents actually saying you can't take your smartphone to bed with you. 11 to 13-year-olds, inevitably it changes. So it's over half now, slightly up from September. And 14 to 16-year-olds, it's 70%. So 7 in 10 taking a smartphone to bed with them. And of course, what that means is that they're then online often through the night, and they talk about this, and particularly gaming, boys playing gaming online, which is not a good thing, one has to say. But let's have a look at parents now. Now, children are getting very upset, and I think this is incredibly significant, are getting very upset about parents breaking their own rules. So they say, "This: do your parents or carers use their device when you're not allowed to use yours?" And this, we asked this because it came up in the qualitative research quite strongly. 45% of the youngest say yes, 39% of the next age group, the middle age group, and 24% of the oldest age group say yes, they do. "Sometimes using devices can get in the way of my family talking to each other." And I think this is a massive issue, children feeling very strongly about this. 57% of the 7 to 10-year-olds, so 6 in 10 say that. 67% of the 11 to 13-year-olds, and 69%, 7 in 10 of the 14 to 16-year-olds, saying that it actually stops family communication. And they get really, really angry. "I tell my mum a whole story, and then she'll say, 'What?' And then she tells me to get off my phone." 13-year-old, 15-year-old. "When my dad's trying to speak to me, he says, 'Oh, it's like talking to a brick wall.' But then the amount of times I've tried speaking to him and literally so attached to his phone," 15-year-old boy. "My dad is so bad. He's such a hypocrite. Because one meal, he's not on his phone and no one else can be on their phone. But then the next meal, he'd be like actions typing on the phone with one finger typing the whole time." And we had loads and loads and loads of comments about that. And they kind of laugh about it, but they're actually really quite angry as well. So let's have a look quickly about attitudes to online behaviour. It's easier to say something hurtful online than in real life. Girls particularly feel that. And I think that's, you know, we would agree with that about bullying. Things said online can be misunderstood, sometimes leading to arguments. And as you can see, 81% of girls agree with that, 78% of boys. The internet is often used to say nasty things, 76% of girls, 69% of boys. Social media can make people worry about their body image, 81% of girls particularly, less for boys, 75%, but still quite high for boys. So I just want to very quickly finish by looking at security. Do your parents or carers do any of the following? Look at what you've been doing online, block certain sites, talk to your internet safety providers, make rules about what you can do online, stop you from using devices at certain times, and stop you taking any device to bed with you. And as you can see, they were really quite high, those numbers. 36% of young people want parents or carers to talk to them about internet safety. They actually welcome conversations. 22% want their parents or carers to make rules. And I think this is, you know, when we're talking about this age group, of particularly, I think, adolescents, you know, they want boundaries. Children want boundaries. They do much better if they have boundaries, don't they? Within reason, and, you know, have a conversation with their parents about it. But I think the fact that they would want boundaries imposed says a lot about, you know, use of the internet and use of gaming. And a similar number want their parents or carers to block certain sites. So there is an increase in the number of parents talking to their children. And even in the 9 months that we've actually been doing the research, there's actually a very significant increase in parents talking to their children. But also in schools, there's been an extraordinary increase in just the 9 months. They're talking to them about cyberbullying, not talking to strangers, not giving out personal information, how to report something frightening or upsetting, and also age restrictions. Now, we run a school panel of over 100 schools around the country. And we know from talking to our schools that more and more incidents of, you know, cyberbullying or concern, looking at self-harm sites are actually coming up. And they are doing a lot about this. So there are little incidents that are happening which then make the school react. And actually, whereas 4 years ago schools told us that, you know, you'd hold a session on child's on safety and no one, you know, five parents would turn up, now there's a much bigger turnout of parents actually taking an interest. So I think it's actually getting better. Now, you've heard enough from me, so I want to you to actually hear now from children, young people themselves.
Everyone's like learned to grow up not really talking to strangers. Mm. Like, it's not really a good thing to do.
We've been literally taught since like Club Penguin not speak to strangers.
Yeah, and what she wants to ask.
Yeah, exactly. So I would never even speak to like strangers there, so I'll never
come. Do you think people your age prefer to speak face to face or online or digitally?
Online. It's like you've got a shield in front of you, so you're protected.
Mm. A lot more people are like more chatty online than they are like in real life.
Just like we play the same game together, like we're talking about yeah, what's in the game and like where things are and stuff.
I've never had a problem with social media. Personally, I've never had a problem, so I just think I see it in a positive light.
I think everyone's had a problem though, with arguments and stuff. 100% everyone's had a problem.
No, I've actually not.
You've not had arguments on social media?
No.
I think that it spread more awareness on accepting everyone for who they are, because, or like who they love, or what they do for a living, or anything, because you, like, anyone can put on makeup, that like everyone's accepted to wear whatever they want to be themselves.
It makes our life so much easier, so we don't have to like send letters, we can just text people.
Like if I'm depressed, I watch like YouTube. That makes me happy.
Yeah.
I like playing mobile games.
Oh yeah, I love them.
I love mobile games, so I can play those for hours.
Right. It allows you to communicate with people from far away, because like I have family in Ireland, so obviously I don't see them every day, but I can still talk to them online, and that helps me to still maintain a relationship.
Like, my mom's a flight attendant, so she goes away quite a lot, so whenever she's away, it's like it's nice to know that I can always call her or text her, and she'll always like reply to me and text me back and like tell me what to do.
If someone is sad and they do post about it, you can like reach out to them and make sure they're okay and stuff, and then obviously making them feel happy will like make you feel good because you've helped somebody.
But then you could also like talk to like people for like help and stuff.
My dad watches funny videos on Facebook.
My mum is, she sends them to our group. What's that?
Parents are very embarrassing. Okay, so just to sum that up, as you heard, you know, they're actually very positive about it. They can see that there are, you know, downsides, and they did talk about the downsides, of course they did, but actually they feel that it's very empowering, and they literally can't imagine not being able to, you know, talk to your mum who's over in America, or being able to talk to family that you're very fond of. So I think, you know, they really rate their families highly. Families are so important to children, but they are becoming very frustrated at the amount of time parents spend online together. They think there should be limits. They want limits put in. They want boundaries, which I think is fascinating because, you know, you don't usually expect that, but they actually do want boundaries. Gaming, social media has given the opportunity, of course, to communicate with their friends and actually make friends, you know, make genuine friends online. It's part of the fun. And actually gaming particularly fulfills that need. So if you're being a bit miserable and feeling a bit miserable, you can actually switch. Most feel well-versed in safety, and parents and schools are definitely doing much more about it. So there's much more conversation that even in 9 months we've picked up, which is, I think, a very good thing. Many say that they do prefer communicating online face-to-face. I'm not sure what that's about, so we might sort of really watch that, I think. And friendship and family relationships can be definitely enhanced through that communication. Right, thank you very much indeed.